there's the fanfare we like to hear on Thursdays. It means only one thing here on Main Street. It's time to go to the movies with Matt Olien. Matt, welcome back to Main Street.
Hi, Craig.
Matt, this movie that we're talking about today, A Real Pain, kind of blends humor and a really tough subject. Let's listen to the trailer, and then on the backside, we'll come back and talk about it.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Boner.
Is not available.
Hey, Benji, I just got to the airport. I really hope you left already.
Oh, God,
you made it.
What's up, cuz?
I got some good from when we land.
Wait, you're not like taking weed into Poland, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Benji?
Nobody, they don't give that stuff.
Mm, I think they very much do give a.
Oh, yeah. We get high in backseat circle. Davers and I are cousins. We used to be joined at the hip. Our grandma is from here, so Dave arranged for us to join this geriatric Polish tour with you fine people. That's the
way we get by. I really needed this man. I know that it's tough for you to leave your boy. The way
we get by. I don't really have anything going on.
I know it's been a tough few months for you, so.
I also want to say that I know you're not the most comfortable person with people.
I'm not?
No.
Does it look real?
Well, they're twice the size of you in metal, so.
You sure you don't want to come up here?
I'm good.
Can you take my picture?
That's what I'm talking about. Marcia!
Thank you, David.
But it's amazing that you're here, putting yourself out there so boldly for me.
Thank you, man.
Let's go smoke a joint.
Word of warning, this will be a tour about pain.
Our grandmother and Benji were super close.
I mean, she was the coolest. I've just been in a real funk, I guess, since she died. Just haven't,
You ain't alone. You're looking back at the horrors of your family history.
We completely cut ourselves off from anyone else's true pain.
Why are you doing this?
Oh, man, you used to, like, feel everything.
Obviously, there are triggers along the way.
We're not at the right station.
And you didn't wake me up.
Oh, you're having such a good nap, dude.
Jesus,
you were like,
Christ, you're on a tour
sorry,
group
yeah,
with people.
I know, I just didn't have the heart to wake you up.
Has he always been like this?
I love him, and I hate him.
What a flying Jesus.
And I want to be him.
You used to cry about everything.
Yeah, it was awful. Who wants to cry about everything?
We're in a Holocaust tour. If now is not the time to grieve, I don't want to tell you.
All right, Matt, we've heard the trailer. This is a film about an American Jewish set of cousins as they travel to Poland to explore their late grandmother's Holocaust history. Comedy and then something like the Holocaust. How did that blend, Matt?
So Jesse Eisenberg wrote, directed, produced this. He plays one of the cousins, David. Kieran Culkin, in the scene-stealing role in the movie, plays Benji. Benji's the cousin. They're really close, but they've kind of drifted apart. And the grandmother died, so she leaves them in the will. She wants them to both go to Poland, okay? Benji, the Kieran Culkin character, is clearly on the spectrum. He is an erratic person. He's wired all the time. He's very manic, so sometimes he's down, then he's up, and it's very, you know, everyone's got a friend like that, right, Craig? They've got that one friend that you can't really take places sometimes because they blurt out stuff, and he does that constantly through the movie with this tour group that they're with, okay? And it's awkward and kind of uncomfortable to watch, but kind of what happens with his blurting out of things and, you know, his musings on being in Poland and alive and all this kind of stuff kind of works out in a strange way when you see the movie. But I think Eisenberg did a really good job of walking this tightrope between kind of, it is funny. It's very funny in parts because Kieran Culkin is funny. He's this outrageous, erratic character who's over the top. And Eisenberg's character is much more subtle. He's got a job. He's got a wife. He's got a kid. He's not living in his mom's basement the way the Culkin character is. So he's the more sensible one of the two. But I think Eisenberg did a really good job blending comedy with, you know, all of a sudden they're at this concentration camp, walking around, touring. And so the mood changes throughout the movie quite a bit. But I think the beats, the editing beats and the mood beats are pretty well captured because you do laugh in parts and you don't feel awkward laughing in a quote unquote, I don't even know if this is a genre, Holocaust comedy. It's kind of a strange combination, like you said, Craig, of this Holocaust tour and kind of, you know, Benji's personal problems and him saying funny things and outrageous things. But the blend actually, I think, works pretty well where it doesn't like slip over the top and become completely awkward to watch. So like the movie, I thought it was really good. I don't think it's a great movie, but it's a road movie. It's a buddy movie. You know, there's a lot of things that happen that are predictable in the film, but I like that it's an unusual story. I mean, how many movies out there are like a road buddy movie where they tour Holocaust, you know, camps? I mean, it's ridiculous to think about, but Eisenberg kind of pulls it off, I think. And Kieran Culkin, you know, he could be in the best actor mix for a nomination. I'm not really sure what the voters will think of this movie, but if anybody's going to emerge from this movie with a nomination, it's Kieran Culkin. I want to also mention a couple good supporting performances. Jennifer Grey. Yes, that Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing. She's on the tour group as well. A recently divorced Jewish woman from Los Angeles who's on the tour. Will Sharp is really good as the tour guide. He's an English-British tour guide. Very good tour guide. And he kind of has these weird interactions with Benji, who just is kind of disrupting the tour, if you can imagine that. So nice supporting performances. I think Eisenberg keeps the comedy coming. But also when those moments of tragedy come, where you have to really realize how many of their relatives and fellow Jews were killed, it becomes poignant as well.
One thing I wondered about, Matt, is this is about a tour, right? And so we've all been on tours. I've been on tours in Europe. I've not been to concentration camps, and I hope to see that part of the world someday. I really do. And I also work with tour groups in Wyoming and work that I continue to do there, but they have a role in preserving history. And so did you feel that this was a tour that you might have found yourself on, or because of the comedic interjection, probably not?
Probably not. I think if you were on a quote unquote tour of Nazi atrocities, let's just put it that way, in Poland and Germany, you'd probably be part of a bigger group. There's like six people in the tour group. So Will Sharp, who plays James, he's leading basically six people around, an elderly couple, Jennifer Grey, a recent convert to Judaism who's from Africa, is on the tour group as well. And he's really an interesting character that kind of bonds with Benji. So, you'd probably find yourself on a bigger group, but, you know, he does take them to all kinds of sites, not just concentration camps, but, you know, the Warsaw Ghetto, for example. They go visit that. And I think a tour like this would be fascinating. I'm guessing you'd have a few more people on it. That's my guess. But in movies, as you know, Craig, sometimes they have composite characters and they limit the amount of characters. You know, having too many characters on screen at one time is tricky to juggle in a movie, I've always felt. So you sometimes see, for example, married couples in a movie, they just don't have kids because then you have to cast the kids, you know, things like that I noticed. So I think they kept the tour group small for movie purposes.
Matt, tomorrow, Wicked is released. Will this be the highest grossing movie of the year?
Oh boy. No, because Inside Out 2 is the juggernaut of 2024. So I don't think it's going to make that kind of money that Inside Out 2 made. Keep in mind, Gladiator 2 opens this weekend too, and the buzz on this is really good. So these two films are going to kind of piggyback off each other. We've talked about, can it be the Barbenheimer weekend of 2024? Some of the initial buzz I'm hearing on Wicked is this isn't going to be one of these movie musicals that everyone remembers. It looks like it's heavily CGI'd. I'm not sure about the casting with Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. I could be very wrong on that. It's 160 minutes long. That could limit the box office as well, but I'll review Wicked first. How about we do that, Craig? And that'll be next week, and then we'll do Gladiator 2 after that, and we'll see if we have two Oscar contenders or not.
All right, Matt, let's do our Oscar trivia bit. We do that each and every Thursday here as we review movies. This actress won four Academy Awards that spanned decades from the 30s to the 80s. Who is it, and what Best Actress Academy Awards has she won?
Katharine Hepburn, Morning Glory, 1933. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, 1967. She does the back-to-back, winning in 68 with The Lion in Winter opposite Peter O'Toole. And finally on Golden Pond, 1981. She's still the only actor or actress to win four Oscars.
Matt, of those four films, which is your favorite?
The Lion in Winter, for sure. Her and O'Toole have this acting battle going on, and O'Toole should have won Best Actor. Of his eight losses in that category, which became kind of a famous thing that they finally gave him an honorary Oscar as he was older, I think that's what he should have won for, is Henry II, battling it out with Hepburn. They became great pals for years after that, too.
We've been to the movies with Matt Olien. Matt, thanks for being with us again on Main Street.
You bet.